Let's turn in our Bibles to keep them open because we're going to look at five passages. I don't normally have you go through five passages, but this is a subject that takes that. John chapter 14. We won't spend a lot of time on each one because this is instructive. This is like a lesson to teach us all something. You guys are intercessors. We're going to be in John chapter 14 to start. You guys intercede for people in prayer. You pray for the missionaries on Wednesday night and probably have some that you remember throughout the week and pray for. You pray for the waywards, and God has really done some remarkable things in answer to these prayers. And we're not through yet. And you intercede for each other on the prayer requests we have. You make lists, and Wednesday night's not the only time you pray for those requests. You're praying through the week. Tonight, I'd like to give you five things that will help you to be an intercessor who is sure that God is listening. Okay? I want to help you be an intercessor tonight who is sure that God is listening. John chapter 14, verse 13. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. But notice this is in the context of verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Do you understand that when God gave us that prayer promise in verses 13 and 14, whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He will certainly do it if we pray in the name of Jesus Christ for the glory of God. But notice in the same context, this need to love him and keep his commandments. So if you want to be an intercessor who's sure God is listening, number one, come to God obediently. Come to God obediently. That is, come to God knowing that you're doing the things that he has shown you to do. You say, why would that be important? Well, I'll put it to you very simply. God might ask you, if he were to talk to you, why should I do what you're asking me to do when you're not doing what I'm asking you to do? And that makes sense to me. Why should I do what you're asking me to do when you're not doing what I'm asking you to do? I believe when we love him and keep his commandments, and we come to him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for his glory, his ears are open for those prayers. And so it's very important for us when we're reading through the Bible to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Okay? So come to God obediently. Here's the second thing. As I said, this is instructive, so I won't take a lot of time on each point. I would like you to remember, though, when he talked about loving me and keeping my commandments, he said, my Father will love him and we will come unto him and make our abode with him in verse 23. Keeping that in mind, go to Hebrews 4:16. Keeping that, what he said there in mind, look at Hebrews 4:16. And in Hebrews 4:16, he gives us another instruction. Because Jesus Christ has been tempted in all points like as we are, in verse 15, he then tells us to come boldly. He says, let us, in verse 16, therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So come to God obediently, come to God boldly. That's what he said. We have a high priest in verse 15 who was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was tempted in all points, so he understands. And when we're in a place where we have the need for grace, we have the need for mercy, he doesn't want us to come in Like, was it the lion in the Wizard of Oz that was falling all over himself when he came? Yeah. He doesn't want us to be shy and intimidated. He wants us to come boldly to the throne of grace. When I thought about this verse of Scripture and the one we just looked at where my Father will love him and we will come unto him and make our abode with him, we, as God's children, have a very special relationship with God Almighty. Do you fear God? I fear God. Do you love God? I love God. Absolutely, we're the same in that. But he doesn't want us to come in scared. He wants us to come in boldly. So the picture I see is the picture of a king. An awesome, powerful, no-nonsense king. Like Ahasuerus. And remember when Esther married Ahasuerus and she had to make a petition for her people, she told Mordecai, I can't go in there. If he doesn't lower that scepter, he'd kill me. And Ahasuerus was that kind of king. So everybody was fasting and praying, and then finally Esther went to present herself, and the king lowered his scepter and allowed her in. You know, she didn't make a bold approach. She made a very cautious approach. Because he's a high official. And when you look in the Bible and you see counselors coming to the kings, and you see others that are in close association, like the general of army coming to a king, they come in with a great deal of fear and a great deal of respect. But they don't come in boldly. Like, hey, buddy, how you doing? You know, they don't make that kind of approach. But you and I are a child of the king. And so can you imagine this, where here's the king and he's handling official business and everybody is taking their official turn, and all of a sudden his favorite son walks in the door and runs up and jumps in his lap? Can you see that? That son has an access to dad that nobody else in the kingdom has, because that's father and son. Now, the son wouldn't abuse that privilege, but, you know, people wouldn't storm the kid out of there or something like that. That's a father who loves his son and a son who loves his father, and he's going to get a special privilege. That's you. That's you. When you come obediently, so you're in the right relationship with the Father because you're doing what he said, and you come in boldly, not disrespectfully, I say, you can crawl up in his lap and talk right in his ear. We have fellowship with him. That's our dad. You have that kind of, so come boldly. He wants you to be there. He's glad to see you. He wants to hear your prayer request on behalf of somebody else. Okay? So come to God obediently. Come to God boldly. Psalm 66. Our God is a majestic God. He is a God to be feared, but he is also a God who loves us and has made his abode with us. We have a very special relationship with him as our Father. But then this in Psalm 66. Did I say 66? Okay, good. That's the one I meant. Look at verse 17. So verse 18 is the verse I want. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But look at 17, 18, and 19. The psalmist said in verse 17, I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, what? The Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. So the psalmist knew that God had heard him and that God had attended to his prayer. We're talking about intercessors who are sure God is listening. Right? So come to God purely. Come obediently. Come boldly, come purely. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Do you know there are times when you are interceding for somebody else, and you know it. You, however your posture is in prayer, whether you sit in a favorite chair and pray, or whether you kneel, or whether you lay on the floor, or whether you walk, however, whatever your posture is, that we're not talking about that. But you know you have an interest with God. There are times when you go into familiar territory and something seems to be off. You know what you want to do at that point? You want to ask God, look, if there's something going on between us, please tell me what it is. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. If there's something going on between us, please bring it to my attention. You know, when you do that, somehow or another, the Holy Spirit brings to mind an area where there's been iniquity that you regard in your heart. And He gives you the opportunity right then to bring that to Him and confess it. And He said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it's amazing when you do that, that suddenly it's like, man, the air is clear. Like the static is gone from the line. Like I know that I have an audience with the Lord now. There's not something that is hindering my approach to the Lord. You say, how do you know that? Because that's what I have to do. And other people have described that. So come to God purely. The end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and a good conscience and faith unfeigned. And that's what the Lord wants us to do, is get to a place where we're in the right relationship. We're not dragging Him into things that we're doing that He doesn't like. So we come in clean. Come obediently, come boldly, come purely. How are we doing so far? There's a nice little way of just kind of examining yourself, making sure, okay, I can come in here and I know God's listening. Psalm 100. Like I said, this is an instruction. These are things you can note about your prayer life to make sure your intercession is being heard by the Lord. Psalm 100, beautiful psalm, verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Come to God thankfully. You know, God's done a lot for us. You know, account your blessings, name them one by one. You'll be very busy for a very long time when you do that, because there are a lot of things that God has done. The sooner, and we got young people here tonight as well, the sooner that you begin to realize how much God is really doing in your life and you're aware of that and you're thankful for all of those things. I don't know about you, but when you were raising your kids, if you had more than one and you had one that was always coming to you, thanking you for what you've done, it's just a whole lot easier to do things for kids that are thankful. Yeah, it really is. You're just like, it makes me feel so good to hear you thank me. I want to do something else for you. Well, God's like that. Always more willing to oblige when people are thankful, when your praise brings glory to God. You know, we have the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that He prayed to His Father recorded for us in the Bible. Isn't that amazing? Prayer is a private matter, and there are many times when the Lord Jesus Christ prayed to His Father, we have no idea what He prayed. We know what He prayed in Gethsemane. We know what He prayed before Lazarus was raised from the tomb. We know those little things like that. But there is a nice chapter, an entire chapter, where Jesus Christ is praying to His Father. And He starts His prayer this way: glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. He came into the courts with praise. He blessed the name of the Lord. He wanted God to be glorified. Man, when you come in thankfully and you're thanking Him for prayers that you've prayed that He's already answered, and thankful in your presence there of all the wonderful things He's done to even give us an opportunity to intercede, you got His ear. That's how you said you enter, with thanksgiving. And then I'll give you this finally, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Come obediently, come boldly, come purely, come thankfully, and then this finally. You already know the verse. If I were asking you to quote a verse of Scripture so you could pick the hymn we're going to sing tonight, somebody would quote this verse because it only has three words in it. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Come to God regularly. Come to God regularly. You know, don't be a stranger as an intercessor. As an intercessor. You know, what happens sometimes with people, and I don't suspect that here, but just in case, what happens is, oh, it's an emergency, there's a crisis, oh God, help. And then a few days go by until the next crisis, and then, oh God, holy. Well, where were you yesterday? And the day before that, I was sure looking forward to hearing from you. So don't do that. Don't only come in times of emergency and only in times of urgency and fervency. Come to God regularly. Say, I just don't have that feeling today. Well, the Bible tells me as a preacher that I'm to preach the word, right? In season and out of season, even when you don't feel like it. And when you don't feel like praying, it's still good to pray. You know what I've noticed in my own life? When you don't feel like praying and you start praying, after a little while you feel like praying. So come regularly. Come to God regularly. Don't be a stranger. You know what happens? Too much time away makes you reluctant to enter boldly. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, I hadn't been here in a while and I'm not real sure I can do this now because, you know, I'm almost like too ashamed to ask. Don't go there. Keep the door wide open and the communication continuous. It's so much easier than when somebody calls you on the phone and says, would you pray for me? You can pray right then and you won't forget to pray later because that's familiar territory for you and a familiar person to you that you're talking to. And God answers those intercessory prayers when we come to Him obediently, boldly, purely, thankfully, and regularly. So I hope that helps us tonight. Father, we're thankful for some instruction right out of the words of God about prayer. We all do it, and we're going to do it tonight. We just want to be able to do it in a way that's pleasing to You and that in a way where we have some assurance from Your Scripture that You're listening. And we ask You to help us now with these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.